times the pain, but I've had to miss the day.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? All right. I was trying to be so fancy and have the song playing, you know, and then I couldn't find all my different screens. I thought I was in the wrong meeting. I think I was in the wrong meeting at any rate. How is, let's see, is everybody on so far from Oregon? How are you guys doing the heat? Oh, no, Agnieszka in Chicago. How, in Oregon here, it's like 100 and it's triple digits here.
I just read in the email, we have only maybe 70 degrees. It's actually chilly.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, here it is. It's intense. How do you have air conditioning? Brenda does. Marsha, do you have air conditioning?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Kathy, you do? Lisa, yep. You do? Kelsey? Gina, you don't, do you? What are you doing? Oh, you're muted. You're muted.
I have a bucket of ice water. My feet are in the bucket of ice water. And thank you, Brenda. You're so sweet. But I also have my dog, and my dog is downstairs in the coolest part of the house. Or he was till I heard me talk.
Wow.
I told Gina to come over. We could do this class together in my air conditioned meditation space.
Thank you so much. It is. It's very sweet. But I actually didn't even want to go outside and get in the car and drive anywhere.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We were out and about this morning, and afternoon, my car AC was not keeping up. I think it was taxing the car. So like we got back home as quick as we could because I was like, it wasn't doing well. So.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed with all of you for showing up, truly. And I'm up in Camas, as you can see. I'm not back at my place yet. But we've got all my other granddaughters and everybody are down at my house. And we've got some of my son's friends, my son and his cat are at our house. So we're full. But Gina, walk over and say hi.
I know.
Actually, I wish I was there.
I spent Saturday night and Sunday night at my daughter's house.
Okay.
I just kind of didn't feel like going back over there again. Well, like I said, I was out, but once I got home, it's like, I just didn't want to leave. I didn't want to drive anywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just takes it out of us, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, let's do the best we can. Agnieszka, you just hold cool for all of us there. I think everybody would give something really precious for 70 degrees right now, you know? Yeah. So here's what today is. Today is a practicum where I want to just share techniques for balancing the physical brain and your energy body, right? And they're simple techniques, but they work and they're not intuitive. So I want to give us a little bit of, you know, something to hang on to. And I'm going to really ask you to write things down, because what's going to happen is if I tell you and then I send you a handout, which I will send you a handout eventually, it's going to kind of go in here and it's not going to land, but we have a better chance of it landing. If you're hearing it from me, you're going to do it tonight and you write it in your own handwriting on something. Okay. But before we do that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we'll be able to do this technique. Before this, what I would like you to do is to, and this is going to come out of the blue. I'm going to ask you to write down the most common set of thoughts that flow through your thought stream when you are anxious. So whatever it is that you've been anxious about lately, right? It makes me think of that song. What have you done for me lately? What have I been anxious about lately? But, you know, there's a thought stream. And like with Natalie, it's like, oh my God. Okay. I'm feeling better, but it's not going to last. It's going to come back and I don't want it to come back. I hate how it feels. I just don't want to go back to that dark place. no, Nat, you're here. You're feeling good. No, but I'm feeling good now. It's going to come back. I know it's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to be awful. Right. So if you could give me three or four sentences that you could write down right now about the kind of thoughts that go through your head for whatever it is that's been anxious. And it might not even be easy to write them down, so I applaud you for it, but
it's easy.
Oh, it is easy.
It isn't easy.
Like,
no,
I'm gonna be alone for the rest of my life. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. You know, it just, there's thoughts that come back and they kind of spool. And it would be the thought that comes right after the next thought, right? So it's like, okay, I'm feeling good now, but oh my God, this isn't going to last. I'm going to feel bad again. And when it feels bad again, am I going to know what to do? And when I don't know what to do, it's going to get worse. And I'm going to go back to that dark place. And then it's never going to get better. I'm going to be going through this for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get out of this place. You see how it just spirals one to the next to the next. So does everybody have maybe at least three? If you have more, that's great, but at least three sentences. If you don't, put your hand up so I'll know to give you more time. Everybody's got at least three? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can keep writing while we talk if you want. We're going to use these a little later. I just wanted to kind of get that taken care of now. But what we're going to learn tonight, remember last class we talked about the two hemispheres of the brain, right? We've got the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. And the right side of the brain is the side of the brain that is more creative. It's less linear. The left side of the brain is detailed, linear, data. And what we want to learn to do is when we are moving into a place of anxiousness, whatever that word is, right? It's a spectrum anxiousness, right? So use the word that's working for you today as we do this. As we do that, it's generally the left side of the brain that is kind of moving into the fear thoughts. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. It's choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Or it's this side of the brain that's going into that hopelessness, that despair, when I say this is going to happen, means it's something that has happened before and you're convinced it's going to happen again. It's happened before, it's going to happen again, and I'm going to go to this thing and nobody's going to talk to me. I'm going to be all by myself. I hate going to parties. I hate doing this. It's based on something that's happened, right? And then there's this other side that is a little more that, what is the word for it? You know, that just that sense of dread and fear. That sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's just that sense of dread. I don't even want to start my day. Right? You can't name it, but it's here. And what we want to do, and not right away, you will eventually get there where you can recognize what side of the brain you're on and then use the technique to get you to the other side eventually. In the beginning, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a technique today that is literally just going to take you between both sides of your brain. It's going to take you between the two. So we're going to bring our imbalance on one side back into balance. So we're moving between the two hemispheres. When we are in balance between the two hemispheres, we move up here to the prefrontal cortex. So a little bit of brain work again. Remember last time we had our little model. And I showed you, this is the limbic system in here, which has your little amygdala, right? That is sending all these fear signals, sending all these messages to your physical body that something's wrong. that something's wrong, that there's a threat. And we have one hemisphere here, another hemisphere. But what we have also, and that's the internal view, this is the outside view. If these are the two hemispheres of the brain, one here, one here, the front of the brain right here is called the prefrontal cortex. They call it the PFC. And when, if we can bring our attention up to the prefrontal, this is why they say PFC, because it's too hard to say it. When we bring it up here, this is one of the parts of the brain that activates when we meditate, right? There are different areas of the brain that will activate. But this is our clearer thinking, decision-making, problem-solving place in the brain. That, you know, when we talk about that clear bubble, we're up in here. When the, by the clear bubble, I meant when we talked to, on Saturday's class, that you can be having an event in your body, all of these sensations, but you're aware of it. And I like the word event. There's an event happening. You're aware that these are the thoughts that are going with it, but there's a bubble of clarity from which you can see it all happening. So in other words, you're not collapsed into it. Am I talking too fast or did that make sense? Any questions on that? Cause that's, yeah, we got it. I want to make sure everybody's got that because I was talking a little fast. Yeah, everybody, okay. So what we're trying to do, we're going to balance boom, 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 and then come up to the front. So I'm going to give you a little technique today and what the technique is going to be, and we'll do it, but I'm going to explain it first. We're going to use left side of the brain. We're going to spell words or we're going to count, and that activates this side of the brain. So instead of breathing in only, you go INHALESOFTEN. And so if your breath is shorter, you would just go INCALM. The idea is we're going to spell a word as we're inhaling, and it's good to spell a word that either has a quality you will resonate with or literally breathe. B-R-E-A-T-H-E. E-X-H-A-L-E. Spelling. Counting works, which is why if you've heard of the square breath that they use when people are in crisis, it's inhale, two, three, four. Pause, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four. Pause, two, three, four. But they're adding a count to keep us out of that, that expansive terror that can happen in the brain. Did that make sense? Okay. So square breath is a breath that I've been told, and I learned this from a sheriff. So I'm going to, at least for what her department, this is a breath that they taught in her training for crisis. When you're in crisis, if you're driving to the scene of something, if you're in the middle of something, you'd use what they train with square breath to regulate themselves. Okay. But we're going to do it by spelling the words, and then we'll do that for a few breaths, and then we're going to move to the other side of the brain. And we're going to say to ourselves, okay, what color is this sensation in my body? We're going to give it a color. We're going to say things like, what shape is that sensation in my body? In other words, we're going to approach it as if we were an artist. And we're trying to create something with a little more imagination around that, the sensation we're feeling, or the quality of our breath, the quality of the air, okay? And then we'll go back and forth. Every few breaths, we just do the other. Every few breaths, we do the other, okay? And you can do this with other people. You can do this with other people, okay? And then after a little bit, you're going to feel yourself calming down. And if you're working with somebody else, you're going to see that they're shifting. they're with you. Okay. At which point, and you just try this one carefully. If you ask this question and it doesn't do anything, go back to regulating. But if you ask a question that has the word, I wonder, and you go, like, I wonder what this place looked like 200 years ago. I wonder what would happen if I was to drink something really cold right now. I wonder what it would be like to have a chocolate caramel latte right now. Anything to get us up here wondering. So the key phrase is, I wonder, and then you fill that in. And I'll give you a couple tonight so that you're not searching, because in the moment you're searching. So it's nice to have a couple that are just your go-tos. Any questions on that? Yeah, Agnieszka.
I'm sorry, but I was writing down how to stimulate the left hemisphere and I missed how to stimulate the right one.
You do something that asks a question that involves some creativity, some imagination, like what color is this sensation? The sensation is the sensation, but if you add a color, that's a little more creative. Or what sound would this sensation make if I were to try and mimic it with an instrument?
Thank you.
What shape would that have? You know, for those of you who have done, we do this in our meditations a lot. It's like, give it a color, give it a shape, give it a sound. Because it pulls us into another side of the brain. Okay, so give it a color, a shape, a sound. You can give it a texture. You could give it a name. Any of those things. So maybe write those five things down. Yeah, Lisa.
Where does labeling fit in?
That's next.
Okay.
That's when we're working with thought. Right now, that's a really good question. Right now, what we're literally trying to do is just regulate the body. Okay. That's an excellent question, especially because we know pink shoes worked, right? Pink shoes worked. So for those of you who haven't watched the Saturday recording, that's what Lisa was telling about an experience where she was doing an exercise and the pink shoes. So that's all I'll say about that. But so let's do this as a little meditation right here, right now. Okay. And just follow along with me and just see how you feel doing this. And I'm not even going to have you get in. I'm going to have you just sit, but I'm not going to do a big lead up with grounding you, because when you're doing this in the moment, there's no big lead up, right? It's like you're in the moment and you're going to literally just take that deep breath. You're going to exhale through your mouth. So you begin to soften the body and use that parasympathetic response to soften the body. And then I'm going to ask you to inhale and exhale soft. And again, but going at your own pace, just go at your own pace. The next time you inhale, see if you can spell breathe. And as you exhale, soften. Breathe. Soft. T-E-N. Now you do it. You do it yourself. And if those words are too long, just shorten them up or say it just a little faster. But do it for yourself. I'd like to see your lips move, to be honest. So you want to actually say it out loud to yourself. Okay, beautiful. Beautiful. So after your next exhale, we're going to move to the other hemisphere of the brain. And as we inhale, we're going to think about what color is this inhale. And as we exhale, we're going to ask ourselves, is it the same color on the exhale? We're going to give it the exhale a shade of that same color. So you're inhaling. What is this color of my breath? Exhale. What is the color of my exhale? And then let's go back and let's inhale. I-N-H-A-L-E. And you do it. You spell on the inhale and spell soften on the exhale. And then let's go back to the other side of the brain and just notice whatever sensation is in your chest as you're inhaling into it. And give that a color. What color is the sensation in your chest right now? And then ask yourself, what shape is the sensation in my chest right now? And then ask yourself, is the shape fixed or is it moving? And then the next time you inhale, spell B-R-E-A-T-H. Exhale S-O-F-T-E-N. And do a couple of those. And then after your next exhale, ask yourself, I wonder who was sitting right here where I am 200 years ago. Was it a person? Was it an animal? I wonder, was it a person or an animal or nothing? I wonder what I would see if I went back in time right now. I wonder what I would do if I could go back 200 years. What would I do? What would I be wearing? I wonder what I would say to someone who I met 200 years ago. And there we are. So just notice right now how you feel. But also notice whether it was easy to move into the I wonder, or if there was some resistance or difficulty. And let's just all of us now take a nice in-breath. And as we exhale, soften, as we know we're learning to do, crown to toes, and one exhale. And let's start by just asking as you open your eyes, how do you feel right now? Would you be willing to unmute and let's share? How do you feel now compared to before we did the technique? Okay, let's ask this. Thank you, Agnieszka, yeah.
I feel definitely more calm and less emotional.
Less emotional.
And it was actually very easy to go into I wonder, and it was somewhat amusing.
Lovely.
It kind of took me out of my...
Which is exactly what we're doing. We're regulating. Gina, what were you going
to
say?
Well, the I wonder, just when I went to I wonder, it just immediately kicked me into a whole other place.
Okay.
Just totally. I was just, I wonder. And I was like, oh, just really right there.
And that's what we just did, left, right, and that regulated us enough that we could get to the prefrontal cortex. And in the prefrontal cortex, we're okay. We've left all of that stuff from the amygdala, okay? So did anybody have difficulty getting to the I wonders? Brenda, you did. Okay, what did you experience?
I don't know. I just would start to think and then I get distracted by something else. So, but it's probably not a huge shock. I'm pretty happy in the left brain, like counting and spelling.
So here's the thing. Not all techniques work for all people, right? But also when you're doing it for yourself or with somebody else, if the I wonders aren't working, it means you're not ready to go into the I wonders. It means there's still some regulating needed. The fact that you can even entertain an I wonder statement means you've moved from one, you've shifted enough. It's difficult when you're in the middle of anxiety or any kind of, you know, the spectrum of those sensations. And I'm not, Brenda, saying that's what was going on for you. I'm saying for you, all we know, you're a Capricorn and that's just not your happy place, right? To be in the right brain, which we know is possible. But if you're not ready, then it means you come back and you do a little more regulating until you can hit an I wonder place. Does that make sense? Yeah. So any questions on that? Were you able to write it down? Could you do it on your own, do you think?
I'm going to go back and listen to the recording.
Okay, so I'm going to do it one more time with you then. Because this is, we'll do it quickly, okay? But so just wherever you are right now, the next time you inhale, spell inhale as you're inhaling. Yes, Agnieszka. Hang on, everybody. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't make a sound when I'm inhaling. I can't spell out loud when I'm inhaling.
Oh.
I don't know if anyone can get it, but I don't think it's possible.
Well, I can do it. Here, listen. Because I've learned, there's so many things I can't do. I can't do mantra unless I'm inhaling while I'm saying the mantra, because I do so many on the mala, right? But so if you don't have that skill, then do it mentally.
Okay, thank you.
Mentally is fine. In fact, this time around, here's the thing. If you can say it mentally and stay with it, remember how Brenda said she was getting distracted? If you can do it mentally and stay with it, then just do it mentally. If you're doing it mentally and you can't stay with it, say it out loud. And the louder you say it, the more you'll stay with it. But maybe you spell the inside and you spell the outside, mentally in, verbally out. The other thing you can do is open your eyes. You don't have to do this with your eyes closed. Yeah, Gina.
Oh, it's kind of like the ujjayi breath.
Yeah.
When you're breathing the ujjayi breath and being able to say.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If that helps you get started. Anyway.
Yes, exactly. So let's do this one with our eyes partially open, just because, right? So let's pretend it's a little intense, whatever we're experiencing, and our eyes are partially open. We're going to inhale and mentally spell I-N-H-A-L-E. E. And then as you exhale, spell soften. And just do two of those. And when you're done with the second soften, move to the other side of your brain and just ask yourself, what is the color of the sensation in my chest right now? And then ask yourself, what is the shape of the sensation in my breath right now? I mean, in my chest, sorry. And then ask yourself, does this shape move or is it fixed? Just pay attention to the shape. Then go back to your breath, spelling on the inhale. Spell the exhale. And then come back to what is the color in my chest? What is the color of that sensation? And then lift yourself into the prefrontal cortex by asking, I wonder what I would discover if I went back to this spot 200 years ago. I wonder what everybody would be wearing. I wonder what I would do. And there we are. Okay. So, spell, color, shape, right? And then I wonder. Tunk, 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 tunk. Front. Yeah? Any questions before we do our next one? So, no questions? Okay. So here's, Lisa asked about labeling. And before we can label a thought, we have to calm the body, right? We have to calm the body. Once we've calmed the body, we can start to look at those thoughts that are like the thorn tree that just have us, we're attached to them, they're attached to us, right? And what we want to learn to do when we're dealing with anxiety is we have three things we want to address our thoughts with. One is that a past, present, or future thought? You want to notice that. We want to notice if it's true or not true. And we want to be able to say stop if the thought is not leaving us alone. Okay? So for anxiety, anywhere on this spectrum, we want to look at the thought and ask ourselves, is it past? Present or future, it's most likely past or future. In fact, it's most likely future, right? And we ask ourselves, we look at the thought, is it true or not true? And we want to learn to say stop. So mostly what's going to happen is you're going to look at the thought and go, future thought, not true, not true, future thought, you're going to keep saying that until if it's not listening, you finally just go, stop, stop. Okay. So this is what I did with Nat, and it was actually quite effective. And I was hoping we could break you up into little groups and we do this. What you'll do is you'll tell your partner your three or four thoughts. If it's really too personal and you don't want to say it, then be my partner. Okay? Because is anybody, what they wrote down too personal, they don't really want to say it in front of anybody? Okay. So what you do is you'll share it with your partner. Your partner's going to make those notes. And then you're going to sit there. And your partner is going to say, oh, wow, you know, I just really don't want to go. I'm not going to know anybody there. And I'm not going to know anybody. I feel so awkward. And oh, God, I hate that feeling. And then nobody talks to me all evening long. And it's just the worst. And I hate it. Right? You're going to just keep saying whatever the thoughts were. And you'll just make up stuff. Just repeat it again and again. And then the person whose thoughts are being articulated, who is sitting there listening, looks at those thoughts and says, oh, future thought or past thought, future thought. And when they say that, you stop for a second. You stop for a heartbeat. Then you start right up again. And then they say back to you, future thought, true, not true, not true. You keep talking. You just keep talking right over them. And they'll say future thought, not true. Keep saying it, right? Until the point where the person saying those future thought, not true, you're done. And you just say, stop. And then you shut up. So you are the mind. You, the person who is doing the talking, is the other person's mind. And it's as if you're sitting there listening to your mind, to the thoughts you get when you're anxious. And what we're going to practice right now, we're going to practice saying to our thoughts, future thought, not true, or past thought, whatever it is, not true or true, and then stop, okay? And you're going to find it's not like you immediately say, it's like you kind of listen to the thought and then you go, oh, wait, that's a past thought. That's a future thought. No, that's a true thought. That's not a true thought. Did this make enough sense? Yeah, Gina, Kelsey, yeah.
It makes sense, but can you define not true?
Yes. I'm going to go to the party and nobody's going to talk to me. Not true.
Okay.
Anything that's in the future is not a true thought.
Okay.
He hates my guts. You could say, you don't know that. You don't know that. My daughters used to say to me all the time, you don't know, Mom. You don't know. Right? I mean, so, Kathleen's laughing, right? Exactly. So is there somebody who'd like to demonstrate with me and I will, or do you have it? Is it okay? Kelsey, you had a question.
My question was, as the narrator of thoughts, you mentioned, do we pause or not pause?
The first few times they say sent to us was pause.
Okay.
But then we're just going to keep going because that's what the thoughts do, right? You talk and they just keep going. So give them a pause 2 or 3 times and then just keep going until they, and what we want is you to have the strength to say, stop. It's not easy to stand up to our minds and just say, stop. Right? And what we need to do is get these thoughts. We've got to get a handle on these thoughts. Pay attention to these thoughts and put them where they belong, which is not in the present moment if they're about the future. Which is not in the present moment if they're about the past. We are learning to be present right here, right now. So we've got all of 5 minutes. Do you think we can do it? Do you think we could try it? What if I break you up into breakout groups and hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4 breakout groups. And let's just decide who's the first mind. I have a feeling we're not going to have enough time, but we're going to give it a try. We'll give it a try. Okay. And just do a few, you know, it doesn't take that long. Once you're in the longest part is going to be getting each other's thoughts from them, but you can just make up stuff too. Let's give it a try. Let's see what happens. Okay. Here we go. Okay, here we are. Okay. All right. So Lisa and I, we just got barely done with her and it was time to come back. And I wanted to, though, something really fascinating happened. So when everybody gets back, let's take a moment to just to leave you. Did you get triggered at all by it, Marcia? Did it get you triggered a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
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 I do apologize. Lisa got triggered also. Agnieszka, did you get triggered a little bit?
We didn't get to the second person.
You didn't get to the second person. Okay. All right. So yeah, I planned on 15 minutes for this one and we kind of went a little long on the other one. So much for me learning how to teach these things in 45 minutes. But so let me just say something really important here. And apologize for the triggering, because saying those things is triggering. But it's also a measure of how much your mind is in control. The difficulty to say future thought and stop it. The difficulty to say not true. This is this muscle we must develop. We must develop the muscle, the strength to face a thought, not run away from it because we're being triggered, but to literally face the thought and say, future thought, not true. Lisa asked a good question. How do I know it's not true? If it hasn't happened, it's not true. If it has not happened, it is not true. Did the sun rise this morning? Yes. Will the sun rise tomorrow morning? I don't know. I don't know, you know, right? If it hasn't happened, it is not true. Agnieszka.
My thought was, I don't know what to do with my life. And this seems very true.
Okay, you got me. You got me on that one. But here's the thing. I don't know what to do with my life tomorrow, but do you know what to do with your life right now? If you are right here, right now in your life, right?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Right here, right now. I'm sitting in my house chatting with Karen and Gina and Lisa and Brenda and Marcia and Kathleen and Kelsey, right? Yeah.
Well, one thing that I said to Gina that you've sort of been drilling home is something might actually be true, but does that thought even serve us or get us to our goal or get us to who we want to be, where we want to be? And so maybe that might help a little bit, that it's not so black and white as true or untrue. It's more about, I feel it's kind of more about like,
I'll be honest with you, Brenda, that's the next level.
Okay.
Starting level is literally future or present or past. Start there. Does this thought serve me? That's down the road. That is literally down the road. I mean, and that's a really good point. But, you know, it's like when we're just trying to train our mind and work with these thoughts and move out of that anxious place. Future thought. And it takes a long time for that muscle to develop, but it does. And eventually your mind, something in you gets it. And you realize, oh, that is a future thought. It took Nat over a month to realize what a future thought was, right? I could see it, but she's in the middle of it and it feels like a really important thought. It's a future thought. It's a thought that's trying to protect you from something that hasn't happened. Lisa, right? Prepare you for something that hasn't happened. So what I do not know how to give you the benefit of Nat 6 weeks with me. And I just say this back to her again and again. And she is trained. She's been trained to say future, and it's made a huge difference. And I don't know how to give that to you, to do that for you, you know, but somehow if somebody gets a bright idea That's what we want. I know. I got it. You get your phone and you record it into your phone. You record it into your phone, your stream of thing, and you practice with it. You put it on and you just go, future thought, not true, not true. And then when you get irritated enough, you just say stop. And at that point, stop it. That's how you can do it. And I recommend it. I cannot tell you the progress Nat is making. I wish everybody could have me. We could bottle this and have you it next to you, because this is what it takes. It takes vigilance 24/7, mm-hmm. but it's making such a profound difference. Today she was singing. Today she went to Trader Joe's by herself and came back feeling good, right? After a few days of hell, but the better is getting better and the quote unquote hell is becoming less hell. That makes sense. So, Agnieszka, yeah.
I have two questions. Question number one, Marcia and I weren't sure whether you repeat all three thoughts one after the other or just one and you deal with that one and then the next one and then the next one.
Good question. And that was hard. Lisa, would you mind if I shared a little bit of what we did with you? So Lisa had several thoughts and we just took one and I elaborated. So it's like, oh my gosh, something bad is going to happen to my family. I know they're going to be out without me somewhere. They're going to get in a car crash and they're all going to die and I'm not even going to know about it. I'm going to be all on my own and they're going to be suffering. I mean, and I just kind of took what she gave me and I ran with it and I just kept saying it over and over. And every time she'd stop me, which it took the first time through, she'd never even stop me. I mean, and that's what happens first time through. It's like you're sitting there and you're just in the thought. It has you, right? And it took a while for Lisa to get the muscle to say future thought, to even recognize it was. And when I said you forgot not true, she was like, oh, I forgot it, but how do you know it's not true? See, and that's, there's so much for us to train here, right? And so you just say it just again and again and again. All we're trying to do is build your muscle to say, future thought, not true, stop. That's the point. So great question, Agnieszka. And thank you, 4 o'clock group, because it'll be a much better class for the 7 o'clock. I'll have this a little more in line.
I have one more quick question.
Yeah.
What about the thoughts, like self-judgmental thought, like I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy of something?
Oh my God, nobody's going to love me. I'm not good enough. It's like, not true. That's a part of you. That's a part of you that thinks that. It's not true. Because the truth of the matter is, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is the fact that you're breathing, the fact that you exist is because you are absolutely indispensable. You are treasured. You are we cannot have the world without your peace in it. You are loved and cherished by life itself. That's the truth. That's the truth, right? And those other thoughts are this mind going and going. Thank you, Agnieszka. Great question. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. You're so patient. We went long, I know, but we will. Any other questions while we're at it? Okay, then I'm going to let you go.
What? I'll just say too that, I mean, we came back in after you guys were kind of already chatting, but don't take that away from the 7 o'clock people. Cause I thought it was really helpful, even though we did it quickly. Both Gina and I we only got one half, but we both benefited because it was really insightful to hear that. So.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. And maybe what I'll do is just have one half do it. You know, that might be enough. Gina, you agree? One half is enough.
Well, especially Gina and I ended up with almost the same thoughts written down. So she was like, oh, I got this.
Okay. And Kathleen, I saw you thumbs up too. You think just doing one half is enough?
Yeah. I mean, Kelsey, we had similar things that we could have shared. I didn't think of that one, but it has been the storyline in my past. Right. So definitely. Yeah, I think we are lot of common storylines.
We do. We have more in common than we realize, don't we? We're not alone in this.
I don't mean this harshly, but it's very reaffirming at times, you know, just to know that it's, you know, for the longest time, I just thought it was me. So.
Oh, Kathleen, I know. And that's my heart is I just want everybody to know you're nothing wrong with you. We're all like this. I'm teaching this because I've been there, right? We know this. We're not alone and there's nothing wrong with us. This is the dance of being human. This is the dance. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, Kathleen. Oh, all right. On that note, everybody, please be good. Those of you in this heat, be kind, be gentle, stay someplace cool. And Gina, if you need to, I'll be back at my place at some point. Come on over. Okay. All right. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.